Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back. As you might have guessed, the MSS crew is here once again in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. Today's date is Saturday, January 7th, 2017, and this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you another fabulous broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Well, folks, we are back again. We just closed out 2016, and now we will be bringing in the 2017 broadcast season with a very special treat for you all here tonight. I will take the time now to introduce the presenter for tonight's special treat, and she will be getting the 2017 broadcast season kicked off here at MSS, and she just so happens to be a big fan favorite here in the old-time radio circles. And if you haven't guessed it already, she is JJ Jackson. Yes, the librarian is here. Things that Joy has, everybody likes. And so let's just sit back, grab our favorite drinks and snacks, and see what she's cooked up tonight. So without any further delays, Joy, the microphone is yours.
Welcome to the MSS edition of Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. This week, I want to share the two shows that ART Seattle and ART Lexington broadcast at the ART Christmas Party December 3rd, 2016. First up is a parody of Rocky and Bullwinkle, originally written by three guys in Lexington in 2008, but I recast it with Seattle actors for this year's performance.
The American Radio Theater in Seattle presents the adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, starring Rocky and Bullwinkle and friends. When last we saw our intrepid heroes, they were making their escape from a burning dirigible.
Quick, Bullwinkle, jump for it!
Let me get my suitcase.
There's no time!
Maybe I can hold the fire off with this water pistol.
Bullwinkle, jump!
Oh, all right.
We find them now plummeting to a certain death some several thousand feet below.
Gee, Rocky, it looks like we're plummeting a certain death some several thousand feet below.
That's not a very good attitude, Bullwinkle. It's downright fatalistic. With the emphasis on fatal.
Well, what do you expect? I should break out in song? At least I'm showing a little dignity under the circumstances, unlike some certain people I could mention.
Ah! We're going to die! Boris, darling, do something!
Not to worry. All of our problems will be solved in jiffy.
Are you sure?
You betcha.
What did you just call me?
I didn't call you anything, Pupshin. I said you betcha. Is decadent American slang for is in the bag.
Oh, if something doesn't happen soon, we'll be in the bag. Body bag!
Relax. Any second now.
Remarkably, Boris Badenoff, a.k.a. Thelonious T. Farnham, a.k.a. Dennis the Red Menace, due to her bad deeds and all-around nasty fellow, was absolutely right. At exactly that moment, at exactly that location, on two intergalactic aliens inadvertently stranded on planet Earth through circumstances beyond their control, were standing by with an anti-gravity ray gun.
Let me get this calibrated. Let's see. The radial axis is parallel to the collinear plane. The laser is primed. The trigger is set.
Are you ready, Mr.
Rose? Ready.
Hey, I think we're slowing down.
Hokey smokes. I think you're right, Bullwinkle.
Sure enough. Our heroes and villains alike, slowed by the beam of the alien device, were deposited safely on the ground as gently as if they had just stepped off an elevator.
Boris, darling, you're wonderful. However, did you do it?
This is decadent capitalist society, is it not?
Of course, darling.
And what is hallmark of decadent capitalist society?
Decadence?
Yes, and what else?
You're probably not looking for capitalism.
Hallmarks of decadent capitalist society are decadence, greed, and corruption.
Does that make fearless leader a capitalist?
Of course not. Fearless leaders, decadence, greed, and corruption serve greater good of proletariat.
Of course, darling. How silly of me.
Never mind. Check this out.
Socialist Workers Cooperative Theater in Seattle proudly presents The Boris Badenoff Show. Tonight's episode, I Was Bourgeois Capitalist Exploiter for KGB.
Boris, your own show? How?
Simple. I bribed corrupt writer. Now you'll excuse me, I have a little business to attend to. It was dark and stormy night. I was in my office doing work of the people when telephone rang. It was dark and stormy night. I was in my office doing work of the people when telephone rang.
Boris, darling, did you remember to also bribe decadent corrupt sound effects crew?
Oh, brother. It was dark and stormy night. I was in my office doing work of the people when telephone rang. Department of... Well, I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you. This is Boris speaking. How may I help you? Yes, fearless leader. We'll be right there. I was summoned to office of fearless leader. He had important job for me to do. You sent for me, fearless leader?
Sit down, make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
Badenoff, I have an important job for you to do. That is, if you are good enough.
But of course, fearless leader.
I'm not so sure. Tell me, what is current health status of Moose and Squirrel?
Moose and Squirrel? Moose and Squirrel?
You know who I'm talking about. Bullwinkle J. Moose and Rocket J. Squirrel.
Oh, that Moose and Squirrel. I think they're in the pink.
I want them in the ground.
You mean...
Precisely. I want you to see to it immediately.
Is as good as done. Expense account item number one. Workers' class ticket from Pinsk to Minsk, 14 rubles. From Minsk, I made my way to Gdansk, where I boarded tramp steamer for Algeria. From Algeria, it was hop, skip, and jump to Frostbite Falls, home of notorious bourgeois capitalist exploiters, Moose and Squirrel.
Golly, Bullwinkle! This is going to be the biggest Christmas party the Moose Lodge has ever put on! There's enough punch here to float a battleship! Do you think we'll have enough seating?
We won't need a lot of chairs, Rock. This is a dancing party. We Moose get a mean rug, you know. Jousting, jousting.
Quite a bunch of hoofers, huh?
You betcha.
What did you just call me?
Huh?
Mr. Moose. Oh, Mr. Moose.
I think she's got the wrong shoe. Unless you're Captain Kangaroo.
I think I'd do better trying to pass for Bunny Rabbit.
Excuse me, but you are Bullwinkle J. Moose, aren't you?
Yes. I'm Bullwinkle.
I knew it. There's genius in your walk. Genius in your face, and everyone knows there's genius in your hooves.
Come again?
Come now, you are the inventor of the antler dance, are you not?
Shucks, twere nothing.
Oh, well, Mr. Moose.
Call me Bullwinkle.
Very well, Bullwinkle. Mercy, here I am calling you Bullwinkle, and we've only just met. Tell me, Bullwinkle, will you be joining in the gaiety this evening?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll both be there.
Get a purse of the girls myself.
Well, I hope you'll save a dance for me.
I'd be delighted.
Splendid. Now, you know, Bullwinkle, if you give me half a chance, I'm just going to monopolize you.
We're hosed. Totally hosed. How can we have a dance when the dead busted good-for-nothing band leader takes a powder?
Golly, Mr. Krieger, what's all the ruckus about? What seems to be the problem?
Problem? I'll tell you what the dad-busted problem is. That no-good, antler-headed son of a buck...
Hey, hold on just a minute. Who are you talking about?
Who am I talking about? Who do you dad-busted think I'm talking about? I'm talking about that low-down fancy pants who was supposed to lead the band this evening. Lawrence Elk. Who in the blue blazes else do you think I'm talking about?
Well, you did mention something about antlers.
What's wrong with Mr. Elk?
I just got this telegram. It seems our hotshot band leader got a better offer, and now we're left with Bupkis.
What kind of a better offer?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer twisted his dad-busted ankle and can't lead the sleigh this year. Elk got the call and took off for the dad-busted North Pole.
Well, gee, that's quite an honor getting to lead Santa's sleigh and all. I'd probably go myself if I got the call.
Oh, Mercy, what will we do? There's simply no way we can expect to find a replacement band leader on such short notice.
Hokey smokes!
Excuse me for interrupting, but did I overhear that you are in sudden need of band leader?
As a matter of fact, your overhearing is pretty good.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Barney Rubel, world-famous band leader and purveyor of decadent jazz swing music. And this is my associate, Miss Feasance.
Charmed, darlings.
If you're world famous, how come I never heard of you?
You've never heard of Barney Rubel and his rebellious ragtime band?
You must be working too hard. You need to get out more often.
Obviously exploited by capitalist fat cats.
Yes, Mr. Moose, you definitely need to relax and unwind.
I've played all the hottest clubs, from Basin Street to Tin Pan Alley.
Perhaps I could help you with that a little later.
Well,
it's all settled then. Barney Rubel will be happy to band lead for tonight's Moose's Lodge Christmas Ball.
What's this going to cost us?
Not a single penny, my furry-tailed friend. Not one thin dime.
What nefarious scheme has Boris got up his sleeve? What will his services actually cost? Will there be any hidden charges? Tune in next time for I Should Have Danced All Night or When Workers of World Come Marching Home.
Hello, Mrs. Firebreath. How are you today?
Oh, hello, Mr. Peddler. I'm in a bit of a hurry today.
Fine. I'll try to be as efficient as possible. What do you need today?
Did my crate of jalapenos come in yet?
Not yet, Mrs. Firebreath. That's a special order, you know. I'll send you a thought message as soon as I get it.
Okay. I need a dozen garlic apples and a bucket of kimchi.
Did you bring your own bucket? There's a deposit, you know.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not like I don't have a big stack of buckets at home.
That's okay. You can return them any old time. Anything else?
I need a small bag of glass.
You know, the giant bag is a better value.
I got the giant bag last time and half the glass went sour. I had to throw it out. We just don't use that much bagged glass.
Okay. Anything else?
Let me see. Glass, kimchi, apples. There was something else. What? Oh, yes. Podcasts. I need 3 podcasts for Jerry's exorcism on Saturday.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Firebreath. I've got podcasts on back order.
Oh, dear. I need something to keep the kids occupied while Jerry's head is spinning.
Tell you what. You can download some podcasts from ART.
ART?
Right. www.AmericanRadioTheater.org.
And they've got fresh podcasts?
Yep. Podcasts, scripts, photos, cast biographies, winning lottery numbers.
Really?
Well, I lied about the lottery numbers, but all the other stuff is there.
Okay, that's www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, right?
You've got it, Mrs. Firebreath.
Great! Is this my bag of goods?
It is now. Give Jerry a howdy for me.
I'll do that, Mr. Peddler.
When we left our heroes last time, they had just hired famous band leader Barney Rubel to conduct the Frostbite Falls Volunteer Fire Department Band for the annual Moose Lodge Christmas Dance and Gala Celebration. Unbeknownst to them, Barney Rubel was none other than that international spoilsport, bad egg, and professional party pooper, Boris Badenoff. And the fetching assistant, Miss Feasance, was in fact his customary accomplice in mayhem, Natasha Fatal.
Where have you been keeping yourself all my life, Mr. Moose?
Oh, I've been around.
You know, you're just the kind of man I've been looking for. Tall, dark, fur-bearing.
Oh, shucks. It's just what comes natural. Can I pour you another cup of mooseberry punch?
I was hoping I could interest you in a nightcap at my place. I have a vintage bottle of Muscatel Rothschild, 1923.
Oh, I don't know. Who's can tell, is it?
You don't put hair on your chest.
You don't say. Have you tried it?
Oh, Muscatel is much too decadent for me. I prefer vodka.
Muscatel.
You did.
Well, I suppose I might have time for a quickie.
First things first, Mr. Moose. Let's get out of here. The Muscatel Rothschild is waiting.
As the socialist seductress leads Bullwinkle out the back way, a dapper but short fellow in a zoot suit meanders in through the front door.
On earth did he come from?
Just kidding. Actually, I'm looking for a moose.
Well, this is certainly the place for it. This is the Moose Lodge, after all.
Oh, not just any moose, lady. I was told I could find Bullwinkle J. Moose here.
You've come to the right place. He's right over... Well, he was over there just a minute ago.
And what were the nature of your business with Mr. Moose, if one may ask?
What business is it of yours, Toots, if one may ask?
Well, really...
Gosh, I don't know where he went to, mister.
Just call me Willie.
Willie. One might have known.
You betcha.
Well, I certainly don't have to stay here and be insulted.
I thought this was a Christmas batch. I didn't know it was a Halloween party. Hey, lady, I think you left your broom double parked.
That wasn't very nice.
Oh, Biddy. I should mark her down for coal this year.
Coal? What are you talking about?
Well, I'm supposed to be undercover, okay? But just between you and me, kid... I'm Willie T. Imp, right-hand man of the fellow in the red suit who doles out all the swag this time of year.
Santa Claus?
Shh! I told you I'm undercover. But yeah, if you're looking for a number two man in the Kringle organization, that's me. Although, how he got to be number one, I'll never know. Kringle would crumble if it wasn't for me.
No kidding.
Old White Whiskers has the credentials, but I'm the one with the real know-how. Why, last year I totally automated our Gimcrack production and eliminated a whole department of elves. Did I get any thanks for it? No.
Gee.
No. Instead, I get sent off on this, you'll pardon the expression, wild moose chase just because his prima donna lead reindeer has an ingrown toenail.
I thought reindeer had hooves.
Whatever.
Well, what about Lawrence Elk? I thought he was going to lead the sleigh this year.
Oh, he was so hopped up about getting the job that he partied all night. You might say he had a little troubly with the bubbly. He's so hungover he won't be able to even see straight for a week. And the deliveries have to be made tonight. HR is practically here and we've got no one to guide the way.
Oh, no! That could mean an awful lot of disappointed children tomorrow morning.
Which is why I'm here to find your friend Bullwinkle. He's the next name on our backup list to guide the sleigh.
Bullwinkle? But he's a moose, not a reindeer.
Hey, don't tell me. Tell him Mr. Smarty Pants, ho, 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 I've got the degree and you don't. All I know is I was sent to fetch him, and I intend to fetch him, okay? You know, happen to know where he might be?
Well, the last time I saw him, he was over by the bandstand there with Miss Feasons.
Are you looking for your friend the moose, Mr. Squirrel?
Yes, we are. Did you see where he went?
Moose get urgent message from grandmother. She is very sick and wants moose by her side. She lives over river and through woods, so you might find him there.
Over the river and through the woods? I thought she lived on Mulberry Street.
I think maybe she moved.
I don't know. There's something funny going on here.
Excuse me. I hope I'm not interrupting. Mr. Ruble, I just wanted to tell you how much Mrs. Peavy and I are enjoying your music.
Thank you very much. Don't mention it.
No, really. We really haven't enjoyed ourselves so much since... Well, I can't remember when.
You've been married for a long time?
It certainly seems that way. I mean, yes, we have. I wonder if I could ask you to play a request for us.
But of course. If I don't know it, I'll fake it. What would you like to hear?
Well, when Mrs. Peavy and I were first dating, of course she wasn't Mrs. Peavy back then because we hadn't married yet.
Yes, I understand.
I certainly wouldn't be dating a married woman.
No, of course not.
Well, at the time, there was a popular song that sort of caught our fancy and became our song. We used to dance the Peabody to it.
The Peabody?
Yes, it's quite an invigorating step.
So what was this popular tune to which you and Mrs. Peavy danced the Peabody?
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Ah, the red robin. But of course, that's the best kind. I'll be happy to play it for you, Mr. Peavy. It's almost time for my last sip.
Thank you very much.
Don't mention it. Take my word for it, Mr. Squirrel. Over river, through woods, that's where is Grandma's house. That's where is Grandma. That is where you will find Moose.
Well, I don't know.
Come on, let's get going, okay? This is the one place we know your friend Bullwinkle isn't. We'll check Mulberry Street, and if that doesn't pan out, we can go through the woods near Grass Lake.
If you will excuse me then, please. My dear friend Mr. Peavy wants to dance the Peabody.
The sound effects department just got a new wind machine, and they're showing off.
Oh! Oh.
Come on, my ride's over here.
A gremlin? I thought they stopped making those years ago.
Hey, where I come from, anything is possible.
And the convertible to boot.
Yeah, it's a real chick magnet.
Don't move. Put your hands up.
Excuse me.
I said don't move, and put your hands up.
Well, which is it going to be, Einstein? If we don't move, we can't very well put our hands up. And if we put our hands up, we kind of have to move.
Well, you've obviously mistaken us for someone else. It isn't Einstein.
Now, there's a newsflash. Let me guess. He's Buffalo Bob and you're Clarabelle the Clown.
Clarabella.
Shut up, Rue! And you put your hands up and then stop moving!
Okay.
Now hand it over.
Does this mean that I should move?
Confound it! Hand it over and move! And I mean move and hand it over. Just give it to us!
Hand what over?
A lux capacitor.
We don't have any lux capacitor.
Maybe I could interest you in some flubber?
We don't want flubber. We demand the lux capacitor.
I'm sorry, we're all out.
Wait a minute. This isn't even the right guy. The other fellow had a big antenna on his head.
Maybe he just retracted the aerial.
Antenna? Retracted?
No, this isn't him. He was taller, hairier, had a big nose.
Bullwinkle? You must mean Bullwinkle. He has antlers. We were just going to look for him.
Ixnay.
Huh?
Ixnay on the Usme.
Listen, they're talking in code.
Well, Mr. Woon, you know what they say. The only way to deal with code talkers is to use the gonculator.
Really? The gonculator?
That's what they say.
Who exactly is this they you keep referring to?
They, them. You know, I don't need to explain it to you.
You know, I have been kind of wondering about that myself.
We don't have time for this, world.
You're always telling me they say this or they say that, but you never tell me who they actually is.
For Pete's sake. All right. You want to know? You really want to know? All right, then. It's my mother. My mother is they. My mother used to work for the Imperial government. My mother says, confound it, Worn! Just gonculate them.
Will Rocky and his new friend be gonculated? Will Bit and Woon retrieve the Lux Capacitor? Will the Consumer Product Safety Commission recall Flubber? Tune in again next time for Woon River, or A Gonculating We Will Go.
Good morning, Mrs. Dragon. It's a fine day, isn't it?
A fine day for frogs and fishes, Mr. Peddler. Not so fine for dragons.
Well, we do need the rain. What can I do for you today?
Daryl and I are hosting the family gathering again, and I need to stock up. We certainly don't want the dragon clan ravaging the countryside like last year at Cousin Daphne's.
Oh, indeed not. Just what are your needs, Mrs. Dragon?
Well, first I need 2 dozen virgins.
Dear me, if you'd asked before Midsummer's Day, it would have been no problem. But this late in the season, I do have plenty of damsels in distress.
Are they virgins?
Well, no. That's why they're in distress.
I don't know.
Tell you what, Mrs. Dragon, if you take a dozen damsels, I'll throw in a free dwarf.
Oh, okay. The kids like to torment dwarves. But I still need the virgins. Granny Dragon is very particular, and if Granny isn't happy, nobody is happy.
Oh, I know how that goes, Mrs. Dragon. Say, I have some knights in shining armor, They each come with a squire and a horse.
Well, they might provide some entertainment, but there's hard to get out of the can. Oh, very well. Give me 6 nights, Mr. Peddler. Do you have any virgins at all?
I've got 7 in the cage, but a couple of them are rather dubious.
I'll take them. Oh, and podcasts. Are they still on back order?
Yes, Mrs. Dragon. I can't seem to keep them in stock.
Mrs. Firebreath was saying something about secret websites.
Oh, it's no secret. People in the know all about it.
Well, would you clue me in, Mr. Peddler?
Sure. It's www.AmericanRadioTheater.org.
www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. Granny Dragon loves those things. She can put her headphones on, close her eyes, and ignore the mayhem erupting around her. Well, what's the damage, Mr. Peddler?
Let's see. 12 damsels in distress, 6 knights with squires and horses, and 7 virgins. That'll be 2.5 pounds of flesh.
That's rather high.
Well, I'm tossing in the dwarf for free. There's a package discount on the knights, squires, and horses. I'll give you the 2 dubious virgins for half price. That's 2.25 pounds.
What about returns if we don't use everything?
You can return everything except the virgins.
All right. Put it on my account. I'll settle up at the first of the month when Daryl's endangered species check comes in.
Have a great family gathering, Mrs. Dragon. I'll let you know if I can turn up any more virgins.
Thank you, Mr. Peddler. My, that's a lot of cages.
Yes, ma'am. Don't forget to keep the damsels and virgins separate. They don't get along at all. Here, I'll get the door for you.
Thank you, Mr. Peddler.
My pleasure, Mrs. Dragon.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch-style home, currently rented by Boris, let me freshen that Mickey for you, Badenoff, and his evil sidekick Natasha, shaken but never stirred fatal. Bullwinkle is the subject of a charm offensive and an equally offensive snifter of Muscatel.
Gee, getting in your place is tougher than breaking into Fort Knox.
Oh, you've broken into Fort Knox? How fascinating. You must tell me more. Here we are. Let me take your coat. I'll put it here in closet. Here, Boris, take Moose's coat.
Okay.
Wait in closet. I'll give signal if I need help. Make yourself comfortable on sofa while I fix drinks. Oh, there. That should do it. Drink up.
Yeah. Ah, mighty tasty. The bubbles kind of tickled my nose, though. I've never had sparkling Muscatel before.
It's my own special concoction. How are you feeling?
Never better.
Oh, there was enough nightshade in there. It should be curtains. Would you care for another?
Don't mind if I do.
There, try that.
Rather an impudent vintage. Has quite a bit of nose.
Look who's talking.
Blah.
Packs quite a wallop, too. You make a killer of a drink, Miss Pheasants.
Well, I'm certainly trying.
Say, is it getting warm in here, or is it just you?
Oh, Mr. Moose. There was enough poison in there to kill a whole herd of mooses. Time for a backup plan. You know, Mr. Moose, I find you very attractive. You have a real animal magnetism about you.
Oh, shucks. That's probably just because I'm a real animal.
You're so muscular.
Well, I do work out.
And those antlers. I've never seen a more impressive rack.
I was kind of thinking that myself.
Mr. Moose, would you like to play a game?
Will I get a prize?
You may already be a winner.
Well, okay then. Count me in. Wouldn't be much of a party if we didn't play around a little, would it?
All right, then. First, You have to put on this blindfold.
Are we gonna play pin the tail on the donkey?
You'll see.
Not with the blindfold on, I won't. I was kind of hoping for a spin the bottle myself, or maybe a round or two of Duck Duck Goose.
Can you see anything, Mr. Moose?
Only the backs of my eyelids.
Good. Now, just so you don't wander off and get lost, we put on these shiny bracelets. There.
Hey!
Now, Mr. Moose, it's time for a big surprise.
You're not planning anything kinky, are you?
Of course not, darling. Boris, you can come out of closet now.
My name's Bullwinkle, and I'm not in the closet. Did you forget? I'm over here on the sofa.
Okay, Moose, get ready for big surprise. Name of game is Let's Pretend Moose's Head is Piñata.
Is this the end for the Hoofed Crusader? Will Bullwinkle become the new spokesman for Head On? Tune in next time for My Achy Breaky Skull, or No Matter What Shape Your Cerebellum Is In.
Why, hello, Mr. Wizard.
Hi, Mr. Peddler.
What brings you in today, Mr. Wizard? Usually your wife does the shopping.
Yes, I'm afraid the old witch is under the weather, so she sent me out to pick up a few things.
Well, then, what can I get for you, Mr. W?
Oh, she gave me a list. Let's see. Her handwriting's so bad. Eye of Todd and Tongue of Nude. Or is it Eye of Toad and Tongue of Newt? I'd better get both. Serpent's Tooth?
Ah, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child.
Oh, yes. Oh, a thankless child.
I'm afraid I'm all out.
Well, I guess that nephew of my wife's will have to do. He's about as thankless as they come. Let's see. Wig of Dragon? No, Wing of Dragon and Chicken Soup. Oh, and a tub of earwax.
Earwax?
Well, that's for me. Her constant complaints are getting on my nerves.
Ah, what you need is something to keep her occupied. How about a magazine? I've got Spells and Potions Monthly, Modern Crone, or Wicked World.
Oh, she subscribes to all those.
Or maybe some podcasts.
Now, there's an idea. You got any podcasts?
Quit carrying them. The web is chock-a-block with podcasts. Try AmericanRadioTheater.org.
Ooh, let me write that down. AmericanRadioTheater.O-G-R-E.
No. It's .org. If you try O-G-R-E, who knows what you'll get.
Oh, great. Oh, I'd better take the earwax, just in case.
Very good. Shall I put it on your account?
Oh, yes. And thanks for the podcast information.
Oh, sure. I hope Mrs. Wizard is feeling better soon.
Ooh, you and me both, Mr. Peddler. You and me both.
When last we left Rocky and his new friend Willie T. Imp, they had just been accosted in the parking lot outside the Moose Lodge. As we rejoin them, two very strange creatures from another world have the drop on them.
Throw a hand, Boone. Don't you eat them.
Can't we talk this over?
Do you think this is wise?
You have your orders.
All right, then. Ready? Aim.
If you got your latest, you'll never get the Lux Capacitor.
Oh, wait a minute. He's right. And without the Lux Capacitor, we could be stranded here forever.
It's not so bad a place as to be stranded. I like it better than Pluto.
Pluto?
That's our home planet. Thanks to Bit here, we were forcibly expelled from planet Pluto.
Pluto is not a planet!
It was when we left.
Mr. Warren, I don't think you should be telling these creatures our business. I don't believe we should get involved.
But we're already involved. You said I should gonculate them, remember?
I don't think we are to risk the liability.
Well, then what will we do?
We've got to have that Lux Capacitor. The other Earth creature had it in his suitcase.
Your whatchamacallit was in Bullwinkle's suitcase? How?
We hid it there.
But before we could get it back, the suitcase got loaded on the balloon.
Then the only thing for you to do is help us find Bullwinkle.
That's right.
Okay. We can gunculate them later, Woon. Let's go.
Rats. My trigger finger was getting itchy.
Is there room for all of us in that gremlin?
Oh, sure. But
Don't you two have your own ride? A flying saucer or something? Maybe a magic carpet?
Bill has a pretty impressive rug, but that's nothing magic about it.
Besides, we're not letting you out of our sight.
Well, let's get going then, okay?
Next stop, Mulberry Street!
Boris, hurry up!
Are you ready, Mr. Moose?
I guess so.
All right, then. Say hello to Mr. Louisville Slugger.
Hello?
Boris?
I've never seen such a thick skull.
Thank you.
Boris?
When is it going to be my turn?
Very soon, Mr. Moose. Your turn is coming very soon.
Following Rocky's directions, Willie drives the foursome to a house on Mulberry Street, a house formerly occupied by Bullwinkle's Granny Moose. Little do our heroes suspect that their nemesis, Boris Badenoff, lurks within, and that he is at this very moment attempting to inflict bodily harm on none other than Rocky's pal, Bullwinkle.
Are you sure this is the place?
Yes, I've been here before lots of times with Bullwinkle.
Come in, Mr. Warren, and bring the gantilly for me. We'll get that Lux Capacitor or know the reason why.
I'm right behind you, Mr. Bit.
Boris, wait.
Look through peephole and see who it is.
Oh, no. It's Squirrel. And he brought Posse with him. Quick, get pistol.
Granny Moose! Granny Moose! Are you all right in there?
Hey, it's Rocky. Come on in, Rocky, and join the party.
Excellent idea. Natasha, open door so Squirrel can join party.
Bullwinkle, where's Granny Moose?
Granny moved last spring. She doesn't live here anymore.
Why are you tied up and blindfolded?
We're playing a game. I think he said it's called Let's Pretend My Head is a Pinata.
That doesn't sound like much fun.
Apparently Mr. Rubo's group is a punk band.
All right. All of you. Don't move and put your hands up.
Are we going to start that again?
Start what?
One more word out of you and we gunculate.
Gunculate, smunculate. One more word out of you and I shoot.
With a water pistol?
Sure enough, in his haste and confusion, Boris had reached into the pocket of Bullwinkle's coat and now threatened our heroes with nothing more than a water pistol.
Oh, Boris.
Oh, brother.
Oh, okay.
Enough stalling around.
We came for the Lux Capacitor.
Now hand it over.
Lux Capacitor?
Capacitor?
Lux Capacitor?
Lux Capacitor! We hid it in the Moose's suitcase!
My suitcase?
You betcha!
What did you just call him?
I left my suitcase in the dirigible. We had to leave in sort of a hurry, you know.
Yes, I barely had time to save my bag.
I barely had time to save my squirt gun.
I didn't know you had any luggage, darling.
Ixnay on the uggage lay.
Yeah, you hear that, Mr. Bit? Now he's talking in code.
Gunculate them!
Right.
Oh, wait!
too late.
Well, that's just great. He's gunculated. Huh? We're stranded now for sure. We'll never find the Lux Capacitor.
What will we do?
Gunculate all of them. We can't afford to leave any witnesses.
Just a minute, darlings. If I hand over Moose's suitcase, will you let us go?
It sounds like a fair deal to me.
Make her take those handcuffs off of Bullwinkle first.
Of course, darling. Happy to do it. See, here is the suitcase. It was right here in closet all the time.
Cover them while I check it out, Woon. Aha! Here it is! The Lux Capacitor! All right, Mr. Woon, let her have it.
But we had a deal.
No, we didn't. Now, you three get out of here. Mr. Woon's gunculating finger is still a little itchy. You betcha.
Oh, what did you just call me?
I didn't call you anything.
Yes, you did. Do you think I'm deaf or something?
Quick, into my car. Next stop, North Pole.
North Pole?
Yes, my friend. You have the honor of having been selected to lead Santa's sleigh this year. We should be taxing for takeoff in just under 3 hours.
What an honor. It looks like Miss Feasance was right after all.
Right about what?
She said I might already be a winner.
If she only knew.
Is everybody buckled up? Everybody ready?
Ready!
We're all set, Mr. Imp. But if you don't turn this car around, you're going to run out of road.
Road? Where we're going, we won't need roads.
This special Christmas edition of The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle starred Beth Schlansky as Rocky, Nick Richa as Bullwinkle, Greg Porter as Boris Badenoff, Magpie McLaurin as Natasha Fatale, Dean Moody as Bit the Alien, Pat McNally as Wound the Alien, Mark Whitworth as Fearless Leader, Karen Leese as Mrs. Pettibone, Kim Turner as Mr. Krieger, Dan Schindler as Willie T. Imp, Dave Leese as Mr. Peavy. Sound patterns by Marilyn Wilt, Kim Turner, and Mark Whitworth. Playback by Joy Jackson. Engineering by Ron Ailey. The production was directed by Greg Porter, written by Mike Wheeler. This parody presentation was copyright 2007 and may not be reproduced in any form without the express permission of the author. Permission will not be granted, so don't bother to ask. We hope you enjoyed this performance live from Seattle and wish you, all of you, the merriest of Christmases and a joyous new year. I'm your announcer, Chuck Royalty, and this is ART, American Radio Theater.
Well, what did you think of that, Mrs. Anybody?
It certainly was interesting, but what was it?
That was an audio drama, as practiced by members of ART, the American Radio Theater. Tell me, Mrs. A, do you feel refreshed?
Why, yes. I feel kind of tingly clean all over.
That's because ART has special super-sudging agents that actually wash your brain. Brighten your outlook and stimulate your imagination while you listen.
Gee, that's great.
It sure is, Mrs. Anybody. So run down to your local audio agent and ask for, no, demand ART in the convenient quarter hour, half hour, and giant economy size hour episodes. Can't wait that long? Jump to ART on the internet at www.americanradiotheater.org. You'll be glad you did.
My second show is the two Greg Gildersleeve Christmas shows that Mike Wheeler combined for the ART Lexington Ensemble to broadcast to Seattle.
It's the Great Gildersleeve.
Goats.
The Lexington chapter of American Radio Theater presents a special Christmas edition of The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. Now let's look in on our friend the Great Gildersleeve, whom we find occupying the sofa in his living room after a substantial supper. Also present is his nephew Leroy, who is apparently studying. Leroy seems a little sleepy.
I believe I've mentioned before, young man, that your homework should be done before dinner, not after. What were you doing all afternoon?
Taking my piano lesson.
Oh, yes. Well, what is your homework? Maybe I can help you with it.
It isn't exactly homework, even. I'm supposed to learn a part in this broken-down play. It's one of Miss Goodwin's ideas.
Well, I'm sure it will be a very valuable experience for you, Leroy. Learn to be at your ease on a public platform, face an audience without nervousness. What is the play?
The Christmas Carol.
Ah, Dickens' beloved classic. And what role will you be playing, Leroy?
Bob Cratchit. I wanted to play the part of Scrooge, but old lady Miss Goodwin wouldn't let me.
I think you'll make a fine Bob Cratchit. Let me hear you read your part.
Gosh, do I have to?
I want to see if you've learned it. And I may be able to give you a hint or two on characterization that will surprise Miss Goodwin. Come on.
Okay. The first scene I'm in is with Mr. Scrooge in his office.
I remember. Let me have the book, Leroy. I'll read the part of Scrooge.
Oh, you want to play a good part.
I'm not going to act, Leroy. I simply want to help you.
Yeah? Okay, start here.
Here? Oh. Well, Cratchit, you'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
I thought you weren't going to act.
I have to act with a little expression, Leroy, or we'll lose the mood. Now try it again. Well, Cratchit, you'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient and it's not fair. If I were to dock you half a crown for it, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'll be bound.
Well, sir.
And yet you don't think me ill-used when I pay out day's wages for no work?
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose you must have the whole day. Be here all the earlier in the morning.
Bravo! Encore! Encore!
It wasn't bad, was it, my dear? Leroy, you gave an excellent characterization.
Are you kidding? I only said about 10 words.
What's it for, Leroy? School?
Yeah, I'm Bob Cratchit.
Oh, that's a lovely part. We did it 4 years ago. I was Mrs. Cratchit.
You can have the whole play. I'm sick of it.
Just what is your objection to the Cratchit role, Leroy?
I gotta kiss Ethel Hammerslag.
Now, Leroy, it's just a play.
I know, but every time anybody puts on a play, I wind up kissing Ethel Hammerslag.
You only have to kiss her once, in the Christmas dinner scene.
Let's do that. This is fun. I'm still Scrooge.
He isn't in that scene, Uncle Mort. He's just watching through the window.
Oh.
You can play Tiny Tim.
Well, that's better than nothing.
Oh, you remember, the Cratchit family has eaten the wonderful goose, and they're all sitting around drinking Christmas punch. Go ahead, Leroy.
Okay. Mr. Scrooge, I give you Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast.
The founder of the feast, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, on which one drinks to the health of such an odious, stingy, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. I'll drink to his health for your sake, but... Oh, gosh.
Bob Cratchit's resident. No, it's only me. Yeah, just a second. Marge, it's for you.
Thank you, Leroy. Hello? Oh, hello, Wally. I might be available. Tomorrow night?
Marjorie, just a moment.
What is it, Uncle Mort?
As a special favor to me, I wish you would not go out with that young man tomorrow night.
But why? Is there something about tomorrow night?
No, there's something about Wally Hoff.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Wally, I'll have to let you know later. Will you call me? Swell. Bye.
That's a good girl, Marjorie. Now, on with the play.
I don't feel like it anymore.
Oh, now don't spoil everything. Let's have a little of the spirit of Christmas.
Fooey on Christmas.
That's what I say.
Leroy, read your part.
Oh, a Merry Christmas to us all, my dears.
A Merry Christmas to us all.
Merry Christmas! All right, Leroy, go to bed. What a family!
Boy, honey, I can't fit it if you don't stand still.
Well, gosh, how do I have...
Mrs. Ransom is very kind to help you with your costume, Leroy, and the least you can do is cooperate.
I didn't want to be in the darn play in the first place. Ethel Hammerslag.
Keep your arms up, Leroy.
Gosh, what do you think I am, a statue?
You're more like an animated cartoon. Now stop squirming.
Well, it itches.
Nonsense. I wore that suit for 4 years and it never itched.
Well, I'm sensitive.
I'll make you sensitive, and you know where.
Ouch!
Anybody home?
In here, Marjorie.
Hello. Hello, Mrs. Ransom.
Hello, Marjorie, honey. How sweet you look.
Oh, it's wonderful out. I think it's going to snow.
Oh, I wish it would.
Well, look at Little Lord Fauntleroy.
I am not Little Lord Fauntleroy.
Now, don't tease him, my dear. We're having enough trouble with him as it is.
All right. Anybody call me this afternoon?
No, but you did get a letter from your boyfriend.
Leroy, do you have to be so coarse? Besides, how do you know it's from Wally?
Who said anything about Wally? This letter's got a Navy postmark on it. Newport, Rhode Island.
Newport? Oh, it must be from Ben.
From Ben?
Yeah, I almost opened it myself.
Where is it, Leroy?
It's on the mantel there.
You remember Ben, Leela. He went in the Navy.
Oh, yes. He's that handsome boy who was always...
Yeah, he's probably an admiral by now. Open it, Marge.
What does he say, my dear?
Well, he says, "Dear Marjorie, by the time this reaches you, I will be aboard a ship, which I am not allowed to mention, heading for an unknown destination. The weather here has been pretty good for December. Newport is a lot different from Summerfield, but the people here have sure treated me fine. I think I still like Summerfield the best, though. Well, I will get down to the point. I met a girl here that I think you would like a lot. Her name is Janet. She reminds me a little of you, only taller. I spent my last leave at her family's place near here, and we decided to get engaged. I am writing you this as I want you to be the first to know, as I know you'd want to wish me the best of luck. Well, that's about all. He asked to be remembered to you both.
Gosh.
Well, that's fine about Ben getting engaged. That's fine. It's fine.
Marjorie, honey.
Tough luck, sis.
What's tough about it? I think it's fine Ben's getting married. I think it's fine. I wish him all the luck in the world.
Oh, are you kidding?
I do. Ben never meant anything to me. Not that way. Can't a girl and a fellow go around together without everybody saying they're in love?
Of course, my dear. Ben was older than you anyway.
We were just good friends, that's all. We just were good friends.
Leroy, answer that.
Bertie's got it. Mr. Gilsleeve's residence.
Hold the phone. Oh, Miss Marjorie, you're home. It's that Wally Hoff. He wants to know how about tonight.
Tell him she's not in, Bertie.
No. Tell him I'll go.
What?
Tell him to call for me in 20 minutes.
Now, Marjorie, you know how I feel about that boy.
Oh, Throckmorton, for heaven's sakes. Don't you listen to your Uncle Marjorie. You go right ahead, child, and have a good time.
Really, Leela? In my own home, I think my wishes might be treated with a little respect.
Throckmorton, I declare you don't know as much about girls as Leroy.
Don't turn in the drive, Wally. Just stop in front here.
Why?
I don't want to wake my uncle. It's been wonderful, Wally. Thank you so much.
Oh, come on. You don't have to go in yet.
Yes, I do. It must be frightfully late.
Nah, it's not so late.
It was 2 o'clock when we left the place, and there was all that time it took getting the car started.
Could I help it if the engine was cold?
Good night, Wally.
Hey!
Please, let go.
Not till you give us a kiss.
Oh, Wally, it's been fun. Don't spoil it now. It's very late and I'm tired, but I had a lovely time. Thanks again. Good night.
Nuts.
Oh, Wally, for goodness sake.
Marjorie.
Oh, hello, Uncle Mort. What are you doing up?
Young lady, do you know what time it is?
No. Is it late?
Is it late? It's exactly 3:10.
Goodness, how did it get to be that? I'd better be getting to bed. You too.
Just 1 minute.
Yes, Uncle Mort?
Marjorie, from now on, I forbid you to see or have anything more to do with that Hoff boy.
Uncle Mort, I am not a child. I think I'm old enough to choose my own friends.
I thought you were too, but I was evidently mistaken. That boy is no good, and if you don't know it by now, well, I'm telling you.
Wally is perfectly harmless. He just likes...
Harmless? He keeps you out till 3 o'clock in the morning. Goes tearing around town in that jalopy. Gets himself arrested. I will not have you going out with a jailbird.
Don't you call Wally Hoff a jailbird. He's...
I'll call him worse things than that. He's an obnoxious little smart aleck, and I don't want him around here anymore. Just tell him that. Tell him to stay off the property. And don't let me catch you going out with him again.
You're not my father. You can't tell me what to do. I'll go out with him if I like.
You go out with him again, young lady, and you'll stay out. Just make your choice.
All right, I will.
My goodness, Mr. Gilsley, you're a little ahead of lunchtime. What's the matter? You hungry?
No, where's Marjorie?
I think she's up in her room. I haven't seen her all morning.
Hi, Unc. What are you doing home so early?
Have you talked to Marjorie this morning?
No, she locked herself in her room. What's eating her anyhow?
Never mind. I'm going up to talk to her.
Gosh, what's going on around here?
Well, I guess I hurt her feelings. But when she sees these flowers, she'll know I'm sorry. Oh, Marjorie! Guess who's out here with a big bunch of chrysanthemums? It's your old uncle, Marjorie. Marjorie! Marjorie, answer me this. Instant! Open this door. All right, young lady. I'm coming in anyway. Now, what do you mean by... She's not here. Where is she? Leroy! Bertie!
What is it, Unc?
What's the matter, Mr. Gilsley?
She's not here. Did either of you see her leave the house?
No, sir. Are you sure she's not up here?
No! Marjorie!
Oh, Mr. Gilsleeve, look. Her suitcase is gone from the closet.
Oh, my goodness. Are you sure? Maybe it's downstairs.
I'll go down and look.
Bertie, were you in the kitchen all morning?
No, sir. I was mostly working in the parlor. I don't know how she could have snuck past me.
Hey, Unc. No suitcase.
Oh, she's gone.
The only time she could have slipped out was when I went in the kitchen about 15 minutes ago.
Then she can't have gone very far.
No, sir.
By George. Maybe I can catch her at the bus station. Leroy?
Yeah?
You go over to the Bankses and see if Sally Banks knows anything about this.
Okay.
Bertie, you stay here so I can phone the house.
Yes, sir.
I'll drive down to the bus station and... Oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
No gas. Well, I'll run down to the bus station.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Hello, Peavy.
Yeah, you look a little done in this evening. Yeah, you better sit down and let me give you a little hot coffee.
Don't care if I do. I haven't had any dinner.
Oh, I take it Marjorie hasn't turned up yet?
Where did you hear about it?
Leroy.
I might have known he'd be spreading it all over town. What did Leroy say, Peavy?
He just said there'd been a little trouble at home. Said his sister flew off the handle.
If I hadn't shot off my big mouth, she'd be at home right now. It wasn't her fault. It was mine. Entirely.
Well, I wouldn't worry, Mr. Gildersleeve. You know what it says there in the poem. Leave them alone and they'll come home, wagging their tails behind them.
You think she will, Peavy?
Well, I recall one time when Mrs. Peavy and I had a little difference of opinion. Our first.
What happened?
Well, it was shortly after we were married. I don't exactly remember the subject of the discussion, but she said it was and I said it wasn't, or, well, maybe it was the other way around.
Said it was what?
Well, that's what I don't remember. But it finally reached the point when Mrs. Peavy threatened to go home to her mother.
Did she go?
She went.
What did you do?
Not a thing. It turned out her mother was on her way over to us. Stayed for some time, too. Before we got her out of there, Mrs. Peavy and I were thick as thieves.
I don't see how that helps me with my problem. I don't even know where to begin to look.
Well, I'm no detective, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I've read a few. Have you tried putting yourself in Marjorie's place?
How would I do that?
Well, imagine you're a young girl and you're in love with Wally Hoff.
I'd like to knock his block
I
off.
Say just imagine.
Well, I'll try.
Now imagine that I'm your uncle. I come in and say, Marjorie, I've come to the conclusion that you are never to see that young man again. And what do you do?
I don't know.
No, I don't know either. I wish Marjorie were here.
Well, there's one thing for certain. I leave home.
You leave home. And what do you do?
I go somewhere.
Exactly.
But where do I go, Peavy? Where?
Think, Mr. Gildersleeve. Where can you go?
I can't go home. I just left there.
No. Where else?
There is no place else. Unless I want to rush off with Wally Hoff.
Exactly.
Of course, Peavy, that's it. Find Wally Hoff and we found Marjorie.
Well, there's just one flaw in that theory, Mr. Gildersleeve.
What's that?
Wally Hoff was just in here a few minutes ago with two other girls.
Oh, Peavy, you're impossible.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that.
You ought to be a G-man. Goodbye, J. Edgar Peavy.
Hey, Unc, what are you doing still up?
Shh, go back to bed.
Calling car number 3, corner of 9th and Oak Streets. Woman reports a prowler. Go down there and check it, will you, Frank?
What's the idea? Think you might hear something about Marge over the radio?
No, Leroy. I just happen to be listening. Listen, don't worry about your sister, my boy. She'll be in soon. I'm just waiting up for her.
But, gee, it's almost 1 o'clock.
Time all little boys were in bed. You go on. Go to sleep, my boy, and don't worry.
You better go to bed yourself, Unc.
I will in a few minutes.
Oh, I just happened to think of something I might like for Christmas.
I thought you just wanted war stamps this year.
I do, on account of inflation and everything. But if you got me a dog, that wouldn't be inflation, would it?
It would be inconceivable.
Oh, Unc.
Please, Leroy.
I guess you can't think about it right now, huh?
No. Good night, my boy.
Good night.
Poor kid is worried. So am I. I suppose Marjorie is worried too, wherever she is. Never should have tried to butt into her affairs, I guess. If she's really gone, it's me that drove her away. Christmas. What kind of Christmas can we have without Marjorie? Poor little Marjorie.
Merry Christmas, Uncle Mort.
Well, well. Is it Christmas, my boy?
Are you kidding? Look at the present I got you.
Where? Well, bless my soul, a gold watch with 3 jewels. That's just what I wanted.
But look what I got for you, Throckmorton.
Leela, what on earth? A blue Packard coupe?
Yes. Merry Christmas, Throckmorton.
Really, you shouldn't have. It must have been quite expensive.
There's nothing too good for you, darling.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Birdie, a strawberry shortcake in December. What a present. What a Christmas.
I'll give you Mr. Gildersleeve, the founder of the feast.
Hooray, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you, thank you. You've made me very... wait a minute. There's something missing. Where's Marjorie?
She's right here. Hey, Marge, aren't you going to drink to Uncle Mort on Christmas Day?
It should be Christmas Day, I'm sure, when one drinks to the health of such an odious, hard, unfeeling man as Mr. Gildersleeve. You hear that? You're an odious, hard, unfeeling man, and you'll never see me again.
Oh, my goodness. What happened? What's going on?
Hey, Unc, are you all right? What's the matter?
Help me up. Oh, I fell asleep. I guess my chair tipped over. Oh, I had the most horrible dream.
Yeah?
Yes, I dreamt that Marjorie had run away.
You weren't dreaming, Unc. She has.
Oh, yes, I remember now. Leroy, you and I will have to stick mighty close together from now on.
Okay, Unc. But gosh, that's going to be awful tough on both of us.
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Bertie, what is it?
I'm sorry to disturb you in the middle of the night, but here's a telegram just come.
Telegram? Let me see it. It's from Marjorie. She says, am perfectly safe. Don't try to find me. I took 80 cents from Leroy's bank. Will you please pay him?
That poor child.
She'll come back, Bertie. She'll come back.
We'll return to the Great Gildersleeve in just a few moments. But first... It's time now for WART's Somewhat Compelling Man on the Street feature, Person of Interest, with your Person of Interest host, Buzz Melton. Take it away, Buzz!
Today, on Person of Interest, we have Mrs. Moody Tarpaulin. Hello, Mrs. Tarpaulin.
Good morning.
Please speak into the microphone.
What's that?
You need to speak into the microphone so all of our listeners can hear you.
Listeners?
We're live on the radio, Mrs. Tarpaulin.
Really? Right now?
Yes.
Laws of mercy. Fancy that.
So now that we have that out of the way, tell us, please, just what is it that makes you, Mrs. Moody Tarpaulin, a person of interest?
Well, I have no earthly idea. I was just on my way over to Peavy's drugstore to pick up some camphor balls when you grabbed me by the arm and dragged me over here.
Yes. Well, just before we went on the air, you were telling me that you rarely come to downtown Hill Valley. Isn't that so?
Yes, that's right.
Well, why is that?
Because I'm busy. I haven't got time to run to town every time I need something. City folk don't understand what it's like to have to grow your own coal and mine your own corn. They think country life's just like the annual Eggs and Sausage Festival. Well, it ain't.
I see. Well, why don't you tell our listeners why it is that brings you to town today, Mrs. Tarpaulin?
Moths.
But, moths?
Yes, we've got us a regular moth epidemic out on the farm. I was on my way to Peavy's to get me some camphor balls.
Moth epidemic?
Yep. Them moths is some hungry critters, too. They sure make quick work of my husband Abner's favorite cardigan sweater. I can tell you that for sure.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Ate the whole thing, except for the buttons.
Really?
Kind of gnawed on one of them, too, but I reckon that didn't taste so good.
Yes. Well, before we went on the air, you were telling me about another important reason you came to town, weren't you?
Oh, that.
Yes, that. Please tell our listeners about it, Mrs. Tarpaulin.
Podcasts.
Podcasts. Really? How interesting.
It's the one thing that we can't grow, mine, or make for ourselves.
Why don't you just download podcasts at home like everyone else?
No electricity. I come to town once a month to download podcasts at my sister-in-law's house. We can always find something new and interesting on AmericanRadioTheater.org.
AmericanRadioTheater.org?
That's what I said. AmericanRadioTheater.org. Now, if it's all the same to you, I gotta go.
Well, certainly. I think that just about covers it, Mrs. Moody Tarpaulin. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on today's edition of Person of Interest. Now, back to the studio.
Back now to Summerfield and the Great Gildersleeve. It's Christmas Eve morning, but in the Gildersleeve household, things are none too merry. He and his niece have had a falling out. Marjorie disappeared sometime yesterday afternoon and never came home. Now we find the Great Gildersleeve almost at his wit's end.
By George, I can't stand this!
What are you gonna do, Unc? Yeah, what are you gonna do, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I'm going to put an ad in the paper.
An ad? You mean, come home, all is forgiven, one of those?
Yes, that's very good, my boy. Come home, Marjorie, all is forgiven.
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve, but who is forgiving who?
What's that?
Seems like it might work better if Miss Marjorie was doing the forgiving. Just a suggestion.
I see what you mean. Well, confound it! How can I apologize to her if she doesn't stick around? What do you think I ought to do, Bertie?
I don't know, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying, because last night something came to me, and it wasn't good.
What was it, Bertie?
Mr. Gillsleeve, you don't think maybe the Black Hand has got her?
Bertie's right. Maybe some gang is holding her for ransom.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Bertie, you've been reading Leroy's comic books.
Well, it isn't like Miss Margie to stay away from home all night, and that's a fact.
She might be lying somewhere bound and gagged, with adhesive tape over her mouth.
Nonsense. You saw her telegram.
Yeah, but it could be fake. Or maybe they made her write it by holding candles to her bare feet.
Leroy, don't be ridiculous. A thing like that couldn't happen to Marjorie. Just because she flew off the handle. Just because she didn't say where she was going. Just because she stayed out one night. By George, I'm not taking any chances. I'm going to get up a search party.
A posse. That's what we need, Unc.
I'll get the judge. He can swear us in as deputies. And Floyd, he's got a hunting rifle.
His brother raises bloodhounds.
We'll get him, too. And Doc Pettibone.
Good morning, Judge Hooker.
Judge, you're just in time. Marjorie's been kidnapped.
Raise your right hand. I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
I, Throckmorton P. Gildersleeve.
Being duly sworn.
Being duly sworn.
Do hereby promise that I will uphold the laws and constitution of this state.
Do hereby promise that I will uphold the constitution and laws.
Laws and constitution.
What?
Laws and constitution.
What's the difference?
That's the oath. I didn't write it. Just say it, will you?
Laws and constitution of this state.
Well, I guess that does it. By virtue of the authority vested within me, I now pronounce you a deputy sheriff.
Where's the badge?
Yes, what about a badge?
I haven't any badges. I don't carry them with me.
Floyd, come in.
Hello there, Judge. Well, I closed up shop the minute you called, Mr. Gildersleeve. Just stopped by the house to pick up my gun here.
Thanks, Floyd. Swear him in, Judge.
Don't need to.
He swore me in the time the camel got loose for the circus.
Oh. Well, first I thought we'd go out to the edge of town and start beating through the woods around Green Lake. You know, where we went moose hunting.
Yeah, good idea. Even if we don't get any kidnappers, we might get a shot at a rabbit.
Well, now, wait a minute, Floyd. I think we ought to keep this exclusively a manhunt. If you don't, we'll never find Marjorie.
Yeah, but suppose we just happen to see a rabbit.
You may shoot in self-defense.
Enough talk. Let's get started looking for Marjorie.
We've got to wait for the dogs, Judge.
Dogs?
Floyd's brother is bringing his bloodhounds.
Oh.
Well, they're not exactly bloodhounds. They're more of a fox terrier.
Who ever heard of a manhunt with fox terriers?
Yeah, well, they're not pure fox terrier, either. There's a lot of Airedale on their mother's side.
What you trying to say, Floyd, is the dogs are mutts.
Oh. That must be Harry now with the dogs.
Hello, Throckmorton.
Oh, hello, Leela. I was expecting some dogs.
Well, I hope I'm not too much of a disappointment.
Oh, no. Come in, won't you?
Thank you. Mercy, what are all these people doing here? Good morning, Judge.
Good morning, Leela.
Who's that man with the shotgun?
That's just Floyd, Leela. He's my barber.
I still don't understand what he's doing with a shotgun.
Never mind, Leela. This is no business for a woman. We're forming a posse to go out and find Marjorie.
A posse? Why, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard of.
There's nothing ridiculous about it. It's a very serious situation, and we're going to start as soon as the bloodhounds get here.
Bloodhounds? Oh, for heaven's sakes. Don't be silly. You're likely to find Marjorie more close to home.
What do you know about her, Leela?
Haven't you ever heard of women's intuition?
Oh, we're not relying on women's intuition or a Ouija board either. We're going to search this town scientifically. And when we find those kidnappers...
Oh, poo!
Leela, we're going on a dangerous mission.
You sound just like Beauregard starting on a fishing trip.
Hey, that must be Harry with the dogs now.
All right, men. To the manhunt. Floyd, shoulder arms. Judge, attend hut. Posse, forward march.
Hello, Uncle Mort. Where are you going?
Out to find my niece. Don't bother me. Forward, Marjorie! Sweet little Marjorie, is it really you?
It's really me. Is it all right for me to come home?
My dear, I've been worried half sick about you. Please come home to your old uncle and never go away again.
I never will. Mwah.
Hey, how do you like that? Now I gotta cut hair all afternoon.
Oh, Floyd, I guess I won't be needing the posse now. Thanks just the same. Much obliged to you too, Judge.
Okay. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Hi, Marge. Glad you're back.
Oh, Leroy, it's so good to see you.
No kissing now.
Aren't you glad to see me?
Yeah, but I gotta be in that play this afternoon, and I'm saving my strength for Ethel Hammerslag.
Marjorie, aren't you going to say hello to Mrs. Ransom?
Well,
Throckmorton, you silly. Where do you think Marjorie's been for the last 24 hours?
I don't know. Leela, has Marjorie been with you right next door all this time?
Yes, she has, Throckmorton.
Well, that's not my idea of a humorous practical joke.
Now, wait a minute, Uncle Mort. I was starting to run away, but Mrs. Ransom talked me out of it.
Then why didn't you come right home? I was suffering.
I knew you'd suffer, Throckmorton, but I wanted to teach you a lesson.
Well, I hope I've learned it. Marjorie, if I ever try to boss you again, pay no attention to me.
I want you to boss me, Uncle Mort. You're always right.
No, I'm not.
You were right about Wally.
No, I wasn't. He's a fine boy. He's been worried about you, too.
Well, I don't think I'll ever see him anymore.
You should, Marjorie.
But I don't want to.
Marjorie, call up Wally Hoff this instant.
Throckmorton!
Oh, I mean, call him if you want to, my dear.
Well, it's beginning to look a lot more like Christmas for our friend the Great Gildersleeve, whom we find enjoying the Summerfield Grammar School's production of The Christmas Carol. We have arrived just in time to hear the epilogue, which is being delivered by Gildersleeve's nephew, Leroy.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. May that be said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
Well, well, little Leroy.
I think he was wonderful.
Good afternoon, Judge. Fine show, wasn't it?
I'd say it was pretty close to professional. Leroy played his part well. I think they all did well. And I believe Miss Goodman should be given a lot of credit for directing the production.
You're right, Judge. And as a member of the school board, I think I'll go backstage right now and tell her so.
As another member, I'll go with you.
Horace, there's no use both of us going.
Why not?
Oh, Judge, I was hoping you'd take me over to the refreshment table and buy me some sherbet.
Well, Marjorie, I can't resist an opportunity like that. Go on, Throckmorton. I'll have fun with the younger generation.
All right, Judge. Marjorie, you're a very tactful young lady.
Have a good time, Uncle Mort, but don't forget, you're on the school board.
I don't know what you mean.
See you later, Gildy.
Now, she must be somewhere back here.
Hi, Unc. Looking for me?
Oh, you. Yes, Leroy. I wanted to congratulate you on your fine performance, my boy.
Thanks.
Whole show was fine. All the actors made a very good impression.
Okay, let's go home. Huh? We still have to fix our tree.
Yes. I thought I might just have a word with Miss Goodman. Tell her how much we all enjoyed her entertainment.
Oh, I get it.
Just common courtesy, Leroy. Is she alone?
I think so. She's in the gymnasium, two doors down the hall.
Thank you, my boy. Here's a quarter. Go buy yourself some sherbet.
Okay. But hurry, will you, Unc?
I won't be long. Well, hello, Eve.
Hello, Throckmorton.
What's going on in here?
Nothing. I'm just packing up the properties. Sit down, won't you?
I just wanted to congratulate you on a wonderful production.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I've never enjoyed the Christmas Carol so much.
It is a lovely story, isn't it? I thought Leroy gave an awfully good performance this afternoon.
Well, he's a chip off the old block. That reminds me. Which little girl was Ethel Hammerschlag?
She played the part of Leroy's wife.
But she's beautiful. Is that the girl Leroy has been complaining he had to kiss?
He fought it like a steer.
By George, I'm going to have to give that boy a tonic.
I wouldn't worry about him. I think when he finally got around to it, he liked it. How did you like the sets for our play, Throckmorton? I designed them myself.
Beautiful. Just like a slice of old England. And that dining room scene? I could almost smell the plum pudding.
That scene. We borrowed the table from Hogan Brothers, and we almost lost it.
How could you lose a dining room table?
They sold it and sent a van to pick it up right in the middle of the show.
You don't say. The people that go to a show don't realize what's going on behind the scenes, do they?
Oh, if they ever had any idea.
Yes. Eve, could I take you home?
I can't go home yet, Throckmorton. I have to go out and supervise the refreshments and talk to the parents, you know.
Oh. Well, I thought it would be fun to walk along and look in the windows and see all the Santa Clauses and say Merry Christmas to everybody. Can't you get away?
Not for a couple of hours, I'm sure.
Well, I guess I'd better be going if my... Eve, what's that over there?
What?
Hanging near the window.
What? I don't know.
Come here. Let's see.
I don't even see what you're talking about.
Now do you see?
Oh!
Mistletoe.
Throckmorton, there are people around here.
Merry Christmas, Eve.
Ooh.
Well, well. Christmas comes but once a year. But it's great! Well, well, happy little family. Why, I see the tree's almost finished. Your work, Leroy?
Yeah, do you like it?
Beautiful. It seems to be leaning a little, though.
Yeah, I think the stanza's cockeyed.
Why don't you just leave it? I think it looks more natural, leaning a little.
That's what I say. Looks woodsy. Smells woodsy, too.
Okay.
Well, that takes care of the tree. Now, where shall we put the mistletoe?
Mistletoe? Who said anything about mistletoe?
I've got some. Any suggestions on where it should go?
Oh, no, my dear. Mistletoe's nothing in my life. You put it anywhere you like.
Well, how about right here in the doorway?
That's all right if you don't want any privacy. Vestibule's a good place, but as I say, it's nothing to me.
You mean inside the front door? But it's so cold out there.
You don't seem to understand the idea of mistletoe, Marjorie. But just put it anywhere, anywhere at all.
It's Mr. Peavy, Unc. I think he brought us a present.
Oh, my goodness. Get a jar of Bertie's preserves and have Marjorie wrap it up quickly. Then bring it. Oh, hello, Peavy. Merry Christmas.
Here you are, Mr. Gildersleeve. I've just been inspecting the mistletoe your niece is hanging in the hall there.
In the hall? That's the most public place in the house.
Well, it looks nice there.
Mistletoe is for kissing, Peavy.
Yes, I know.
Most people prefer to do their kissing unobserved. It's better that way.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. Kissing's good anywhere, if I remember correctly.
You may be right there. Sit down, won't you, Peavy?
Well, I can't stay, really. I just dropped in to bring your family a little Christmas remembrance, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, well, Peavy. We've got something for you, too.
Oh, that's not necessary. What I brought you is really nothing at all.
What do you mean by that?
Well, knowing of Leroy's fondness for sweets, and assuming Marjorie's the same, and...
Yes, indeed, Peavy, and so am I.
Then perhaps you'll accept this box of chocolates with the Christmas greetings of Mrs. Peavy and myself.
Chocolates? Leroy, bring down that present for Mr. Peavy. My goodness, why, chocolates are rarer than pearls these days.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. The fact is, Mr. Gildersleeve, I found these in the snorer last week by accident. This particular box of chocolates somehow got in with the camphor balls.
Camphor balls? Were they in there long?
No, they couldn't have been. I check my stock pretty carefully every 6 months.
I see.
Here's your present, Mr. Peavy. Merry Christmas.
It's just a little Christmas delicacy, Peavy. I hope you and Mrs. Peavy enjoy it.
Well, thank you very much. Oh, gracious. I've got to be getting along.
It's not supper time yet, is it?
No, but Mrs. Peavy and I always open our stockings on Christmas Eve, and I haven't got hers filled yet.
Oh.
Candy cane's what I need. But I think I'll put this Christmas horn in instead. I think she'll like that.
I'm sure she will, Peavy.
Oh, here comes another caller for you. Good evening, Mrs. Ransom. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Peavy. And to Mrs. Peavy, too.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night. Well, come in, Leela.
I brought over a few little things, Throckmorton.
A few? Why, Leela, all those packages. Leela, I believe Christmas has put roses in your cheeks.
Really, Throckmorton? How can you tell here in the dark?
I can tell, Leela. Look what's up there over your head.
Over my head? Oh, mistletoe.
That's right.
Oh, Throckmorton, all these bundles.
Merry Christmas, Leela. Merry Christmas, Leela. Who said Christmas comes but once a year? But it's great. All right, Leroy, it's your bedtime. Come on, I'll tuck you in bed.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Merry Christmas. Come on, Unc.
It'll be a little strange this Christmas with no presents.
War stamps are a fine present.
Then you won't mind it very much?
No, I don't mind it. It makes me feel, I don't know, kind of important, like I was really doing something.
You are, my boy. You feel all right about it, don't you?
Yeah, I feel okay. Only, I still don't see what harm it would have done to get me a dog.
You know I'm against dogs, Leroy. Still, come here a minute.
Where?
Over here, just to the head of the cellar stairs.
Cellar stairs? What's the...
Hear anything?
A puppy!
Merry Christmas, Leroy. Get down!
This special Christmas presentation of The Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as The Great Gildersleeve, with Tom Fitzpatrick as Leroy and Anne-Marie Mara as Marjorie. Also in our cast you heard John Greenway, Jan Hanley, Hap, Aaron Hiles, Pam Hungate, David Maddox, and Stuart Talbert. Live sound effects were performed by John Greenway and Jan Hanley. Special thanks to Dan Schindler for Person of Interest. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. I'm your announcer, Aaron Hiles, speaking on behalf of the Lexington chapter of American Radio Theater and wishing you all the very best of this holiday season. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Gee, I know I'm way over my time. Please have a look at ART's website for more podcasts, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org. We put up a new show every month. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time.
Okay, Joy, thanks a lot and great work as usual. I'm pretty sure they wish that it won't be stopping, but unfortunately it has to. So now I'm going to take over to do what I do best, and that is shut things down and wrap it up for this week's broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. But don't worry, we will be back again next week. You know, bringing you the thing that you love most, and that is those good old-fashioned OTR surprises. So, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or maybe even a request or two, please address them to the MSS director. He can be found at micamilley@earthlink.net. That's MIKEAMELI @EARTHLINK.NET. We will soon be releasing the key, returning the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. On behalf of myself and the rest of the MSS crew, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.